to create a future of work that in which workers are really in control.
And finally, the fact that who was held accountable for what happened and how much so many people lost 10 years ago?
Well, I think we haven't really held anyone accountable nearly enough. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, or there was some talk for some
seconds.
Of the time about who was not put in jail, things like that. I think we need to talk about this system. We need to transform the system, and we have a tool set. We have a tradition that is proven, that is actually bipartisan, that we can turn to make that difference.
Nathan Schneider, media studies professor at University of Colorado Boulder. His new book, Everything for Everyone, The Radical Tradition That's Shaping the Next Economy. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bread and Ink Cafe, located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland, serving family-style breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Lunch provided by Aviv, located at 1125 Southeast Division Street in the Hosford-Abernethy neighborhood. Open daily from lunch to dinner, Aviv serves vegan-friendly Middle Eastern cuisine. Dinner provided by Le Bistro Montage, located in Portland's Industrial District at 301 Southeast Morrison Street. Le Bistro Montage serves Creole cuisine, open daily from dinner to late night. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO's prize drawing rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the drive prize drawings. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance for winning. The Fall Drive Prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household per year will be accepted during the drive drawing period. Entries may be mailed, with the aforementioned information, to KBOO Radio, care of Membership Department, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, postmarked by September 22nd. Incomplete or late entries will not be accepted. Winner will be determined in a random drawing on Thursday, October 4th. Winner will be notified by telephone, mail, or email after Monday, October 8th. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions, and for the names of the winners, go to kboo.fm/Fall 2018 drawing. And thank you.
The time is 5:02 p.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is our fall membership drive. Please call 877-500-5266 to support KBOO right now. Coming up next is the KBOO Evening News. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Levin & Levine, LLP, attorneys specializing in personal injury law. Levin & Levine offices are located in Southeast Portland and Old Town Sherwood. More information available by phone at 503-946-8708 and online at levinandlevine.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, a Portland woman was attacked in Powell Park on Monday.
The death toll for Hurricane Florence has continued to rise after it hit North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia.
And in international news, UNICEF announces starvation statistics from Yemen. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. KBOO is currently having our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Yasmin Kobanoglu.
And I'm Kyle Carezzi. According to Portland police, a woman was attacked late Monday afternoon in Powell Park, near the intersection of Southeast Powell Boulevard and 26th Avenue. She said that the attackers were two teenage males. According to the woman, they approached her and made derogatory comments about her sexual orientation. One of the teens hit her with a stick and the other stabbed her with what was described as an ice pick. She fled to a nearby Portland food mart and called 911. According to the police, she was treated by EMTs at the scene and was not hospitalized. The police are now investigating the assault as a bias crime and have not arrested any suspects. People in the Portland area who have been victim of a hate crime can also reach out for support to organizations like the Portland Q Center at pdxqcenter.org, the Oregon Coalition Against Hate Crime at OregonCAHC.org, and the Oregon Chapter of GLSTN, which works to create a safe space and inclusive school environments for all gender identities, gender expressions, and sexual orientations, found at glsen.org.
The Hurricane Florence death toll doubled yesterday, rising to 33 deaths, 26 in North Carolina, 6 in South Carolina, and 1 in Virginia. According to poultry producer Sanderson Farms, an estimated 1.7 million chickens were also killed during the storm. The company said 60 of its boiler houses have flooded, and another 6 were damaged and in need of repair. CBN says 30 farms near Lumberton, North Carolina, were isolated by floodwaters, and they are unable to reach them with feed trucks. Farmers' crops are damaged, and a quarter to half of the tobacco crops was lost. The storm brought 1 to 2 inches of rain in much of West Virginia before moving out early Tuesday. The state is still recovering from June 2016 floods that killed 23 people. It will stop raining in the Carolinas today, but the remains of the hurricane created a tornado that killed one person in Virginia yesterday. Rooftops are ripping off, and several rivers are still rising and flooding. Approximately 10,000 people are staying in shelters in North Carolina, and first responders have saved more than 2,000 people. There are around 343,000 people still without power.
As the U.S.-Saudi war drags on in Yemen, 400,000 children are starving to death and 1,800,000 are going hungry every day. The figures come from UNICEF spokesperson Maricel Rolano, who said that the ongoing war has created what she called a living hell for children. She also said that an additional 11 million are facing disease, displacement from their homes, and a lack of basic social services. Children with protruding rib cages and skeletal limbs are being treated in a hospital in Sana'a's capital of Yemen, but there are not enough beds for all those starving. According to Rolano, UNICEF has provided over 244,000 severely malnourished children with therapeutic treatment since the beginning of 2018, in addition to micronutrition treatment to over 317,000 children under 5. Local videos show the presence of U.S.-manufactured CBU-58A cluster bombs, which have been used in populated areas. Cluster bombs are particularly effective for killing small children who pick them up thinking that they are toys. UNICEF has condemned the latest Saudi attack on Yemeni children. Rolano also said, quote, "Parties to the conflict are obliged to do absolutely everything possible to protect civilians and civilian infrastructure and ensure people have access to the aid that they are entitled to and need to survive." Meanwhile, this week, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo certified to Congress without evidence that, quote, "The governments of Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates are undertaking demonstrable actions to reduce the risk of harm to civilians and civilian infrastructure."
The Trump administration revoked the visas and froze the bank accounts of a Palestinian envoy and his family today. To gain more understanding of why this occurred, KABU reporter Grace Ann Smith spoke with Allison Weir, a member of If Americans Knew, a group aimed at educating the public on Israeli and Palestinian relations.
We are speaking with Allison Weir from the organization If Americans Knew. Could you tell us a little bit about your organization, Allison?
We work to give Americans the facts about Israel-Palestine and especially about the U.S. connection to it. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization.
Could you tell us a little bit about the PLO, since they're popping up in the news today?
PLO was formed in about 1964. It's sort of the embodiment of the Palestinian National Movement. It's a broad national front for Palestinians of all type, an umbrella organization that consists of numerous political parties and organizations. It's sort of the umbrella organization that represents Palestinians.
Kind of like almost operate on an ambassador level, don't they?
Yes, that's right. They have an ambassador who has been representing them. In 1974, the PLO was recognized as the sole legitimate representative of the Palestinian people. So now their leader is the ambassador of Palestinian people.
This comes after the fact that the Trump administration just kind of kicked the PLO out of Washington, D.C.?
That's right. It announced it was closing down their office, you know, which is really astounding to take that level of action. The office has been there for many years. It's been operating under both Republican administrations and Democratic administrations. It's, you know, the diplomatic mission of the Palestinian people. It's very important for us to have that available here in the United States. It's around in other countries, so it normally would also be here. But on top of that, the Trump administration just revoked the visas of the ambassador's wife and his children who have been in school in Washington, D.C. He has a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, and now they're suddenly being forced to leave. This is really an unprecedented kind of action.
It is Hussam Zumlot's family, and they also had their bank accounts frozen as well.
That's correct. That has happened. You know, it happened very suddenly. There was no action that required this. It was sort of just the power to do that is what's being evoked here, not that it was politically justified or diplomatically justified or sensible, but that's what just has happened.
Because the Zumlot's family, I believe, had visas until the year 2020.
That's correct.
So to have them revoked.
You know, actions of this type normally are not taken against family members, against children. So this is fairly unusual.
So does that leave the Palestinian people without any kind of representation in Washington, D.C.?
It appears to do that.
What about the peace talks that Trump has been trying to say that he's bringing people into? How is this going to help with the Palestinian people being able to come into the folds of the peace talks?
Well, numerous people have written, and even people that are pro-Israel are disturbed with these actions because they are, you know, it sort of reminds me of that T-shirt that people that sail sometimes will wear for a joke, something like the whipping of sailors will stop as soon as morale improves.
Oh, right.
So they're trying to somehow make it so miserable that will force them to the negotiating table. But it's doing the opposite. It's making the Palestinian population extremely outraged. There are some differences within the Palestinian population politically, just as there are in the U.S. But this is, everybody now is feeling that they're being treated unfairly and extremely harshly. They've just had major humanitarian aid is now being cut off. This will harm civilians. It will harm children. This tactic seems, you know, I'm not sure what it's intended to do, but I cannot see how it would ever help the peace process in any way whatsoever.
And so the amount of money that did just get cut in aid like a week ago, that's going to significantly affect the Palestinian population, isn't it?
It definitely will. Mm-hmm. You know, already because of the major embargo and the siege that Israel has enacted against the Palestinians for over a dozen years now. So already there has been malnutrition among Palestinian children in Gaza. There has been evidence that their growth is being stunted. Very, very extreme situation that has been documented by many humanitarian agencies from places like the International Red Cross, and even some Israeli agencies are documenting this type of thing. So it's already extremely hard in Gaza. But at least there was some international aid supplied from around the world, including from the United States, that now is being cut off. Medical aid that was helping schools have funding mm-hmm. under the occupation.
It's been kind of deemed to be such a pending humanitarian crisis that they've given the money that they had promised over the course of 5 years all at once.
That's right. And the Trump administration has cut off two types of aid now. One type was from the United States itself that would go to some humanitarian agencies in the Palestinian territory. This has gone on for many years. A significant amount of money to those Palestinians. It's much smaller than what Israel gets from the U.S., but it was significant. So that has been cut. In addition to that, the U.S. gave money to a United Nations organization called, the initials are UNRWA. This has been around since about, I think it was formed in about 1949 or 1950. So this is a United Nations agency that has been a humanitarian agency to help support the refugees from the ethnic cleansing that occurred in 1947 to 1949. For all of these decades, this agency, a UN agency, has been operating to help these refugees. You know, there are often UN programs to help various refugees. This is the oldest one. Now, the Trump administration is cutting the U.S. money that goes to that agency. And again, this is a very questionable action. This wasn't money that goes to the Palestinians. It does ultimately go and help Palestinian refugees. But this was a UN program that we're obligated to give money for. This is part of our membership in the UN. So this is now sort of violating a US agreement with the United Nations. And all of this is happening right while a new bill is currently before Congress to give Israel $38 billion over the next 10 years. This is the largest US military aid package in US history.
So that's $38 billion in military funds?
$38 billion military aid package to Israel, which is larger than any other military aid package we've ever given in our whole history.
And what would you say the traditional package of just like aid to Palestine was historically? I mean, obviously not now.
I'd say recently it was about $200 million. So this compared to last year, for example, I'm not sure if this number is exactly right, but the amount of money that we gave to Israel was over $3 billion. That was approximately $10 million per day. So while Israel was getting over $3 billion, the Palestinians were getting around, I think it was $200 million. Obviously a very small fraction of what Israel was getting. And what Israel was getting was military aid, whereas the Palestinians were getting humanitarian aid.
We're going to have to wrap this up soon, but I was just wondering, in your opinion, do you think Americans know enough or a lot about what is happening in Palestine?
No, I don't. I think Americans, the U.S. media, from NPR to Fox News, to the New York Times, to the Washington Post, inevitably always portray Israeli actions as though they're defensive. They always put it in a context in which supposedly Palestinians are initiating the violence, they're the aggressors, etc. And that's the exact reversal of what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm. That was KABU reporter Grace Ann Smith speaking with Allison Weir, a member of If Americans Knew, a group aimed at educating the public on Israeli and Palestinian relations.
KABU volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening, so now we're asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Jamie and Sam to tell you about how you can support KABU Community Radio.
Hey, thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Yasmin. I'm Sam, and I'm here with Jamie.
Hey, Kyle. Hey, Sam.
And
we are speaking with Allison Weir.
And we are excited to be joining you on the KABU Evening News for KABU's Fall Membership Drive. Claim the airwaves, amplify your voice, and support KABU today. We have been Portland's volunteer-powered member-funded community radio station since 1968. Call 877-500-5266 now with your pledge of support. And if you call that number now, 877-500-5266, you'll be entered to win a prize. So call 877-500-KBOO for your chance to win 12 bottles of wine. That's three varieties of Pinot. I had to gulp just thinking about that. Three varieties of Pinot from St. Joseph's Winery, or go to kboo.fm for rules and details on all these prizes. But most importantly, just call that number, 877-500-5266, and help support programming like the KABU Evening News, like Democracy Now!, like Preference coming up next, and like all of the programs that you hear on KBOO.
You know, Sam, the KABU Evening News is produced here every weekday by volunteers, researched, written, and read by volunteers, volunteers who care like you do, like you, dear listener, about building a progressive movement to change our community and our nation. You value getting the news from many perspectives, news that includes voices that aren't heard on other stations and in other outlets. And you're an important part of this effort, so call now with your pledge to KABU, 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm and make a secure donation. I would suggest that you consider making a $5 a month donation to KABU, which is really very little. Come right out of your checking account or your credit card, and you hardly even notice it. And we have offering you a gift of a KABU black beanie for that $5 a month contribution. So pick up the phone, 877 800-500-5266 and donate now.
Yeah, and like you said, I have one of those beanies myself. I've been wearing it all year. It's got a couple holes in it. You can get one, too. It's got a nice KBOO decal on it. But that's not the main reason you would call. That's just icing on the cake. The cake is KBOO. And you can help support us. You can help support our training and our infrastructure and our tech nest of wires and all that stuff that they tell me makes the this go over the air. I don't really believe them, but they tell me that it's important. So call that number, 877-500-5266, or go on kboo.fm. And if you're really feeling gregarious today, come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Street, shake some hands, meet some volunteers, write your name down yourself. That's what we're about here at KBOO. We are accessible. We are open to community ideas, to community feedback. We are made up of people from the community. We don't have we don't put out an advertisement for volunteers and take resumes from New York City and Miami, where it's everybody is walking up to the front door here. So call that number, 877-500-5266. Support this local community programming. Support your local community volunteers. Support people making a difference. Make a difference yourself. 877-500-5266.
That's right, Sam. 80,000 people listen to KBOO each week, but only 6,000 are active members. Wow. So, you know, make the change. Turn yourself from a KBOO listener into a KBOO member, and you change your life. It feels different when you're actually a member. You're an owner. This is what KBOO feels like. I mean, it's changed my life. When I finally got around to becoming a regular sustainer, I stepped up. I got involved. Here I am pitching, and I'm actually a programmer. I'm a volunteer on Labor Radio. You know, KBOO is a community project. It's organized people changing hearts and minds one listener at a time. That's what social change is about. You know, first you talk to one person, then you talk to another person, then you talk to another person. And here we are. So it's a labor of love. We're in the news and public affairs. Our research written and read by volunteers. We need your support. Listening is free, but it's not free to produce. So get on the phone and dial 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm and make a secure donation now.
Yeah, that's kboo.fm. You can click on the little donate button up in the corner, and you can make your pledge today. And once again, $5 a month, that's $60 a year. That's quite the magic of addition there. And for that, you can get the KBOO Black Beanie that we are giving away to new members who make a $5 a month donation. And you can give any amount you want. Just call 877-500-5266. Talk to a volunteer today and become a member of KBOO.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this newscast by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth interview with Ni Arde Alote about the upcoming Homo'o and Twins Festival. At 6, it's Preference. Then at 7, Calculated Conversation. And on Monday, KBOO will be covering the Senate hearings for Brett Kavanaugh live on air. Tonight's weather will be partly cloudy with a low of 49 degrees. Tomorrow it will be mostly sunny with a high of 72 degrees. Today in history, in 1975, newspaper heiress Patty Hearst was arrested for armed robbery in San Francisco. The quote of the day is from Maya Angelou, who said, quote, "If you're always trying to be normal, you will never know how amazing you can be."
Since it is our pledge drive, KBOO's Al Khan would like to share a brief history of the station as well as some personal comments.
Almost 50 years ago, a small group of Portlanders formed a group called Portland Listener Supported Radio and approached a man named Lorenzo Millam, who is a veteran of KPFA in Berkeley, California, and also helped start the Seattle station, KRAB. With Millam's help, Portland Listener Supported Radio applied for a license with the FCC for a radio station in Portland, and KBOO was born. The license was granted in June of 1968 for a fee of $4,000, and with a budget of $50 a day, KBOO started broadcasting with a booming power of 10 watts. A basement room was donated on 3rd and Salmon Street in downtown Portland. The space was barely big enough for two tape recorders and one turntable. About 30 volunteers came together to help out, including radicals, professional broadcast engineers, and musicians. In the beginning, KBOO was only on the air when a volunteer could spare time to come and operate the station. But then we began to grow. New volunteers started coming, and they brought their talents with them. They even brought big, heavy tape recorders to concerts and political events to record these for broadcast later. Soon, local artists, musicians, and poets became aware of this outlet to highlight their own talent and flock to the small studio. Then in the summer of 1970, KBOO obtained a 1,000-watt transmitter, spreading the signal to most of Northwest Oregon. After 3 years, KBOO outgrew its studio and moved to a storefront on Southeast Belmont Street near 31st Avenue. By 1972, KBOO became an official nonprofit foundation and elected its first board of directors and became a fully independent station. By 1973, KBOO membership was around 600 people, with 30 active volunteers, and station manager John Ross was able to obtain a federal grant of $80,000 to help purchase new equipment. Another move happened in 1977 to a location on Southwest Yamhill Street, where a new 12,000-watt transmitter and a surging wave of volunteers enabled KBOO to broadcast 24 hours a day. Then in 1981, KBOO was able to purchase a small warehouse space at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and volunteers swarmed the old space and transformed it into the home KBOO has today. My personal experience with KBOO, I think, is pretty typical. I started listening now and again and found some music shows I really liked. As I became more and more tired of the repetition on commercial stations, not to mention the intelligence-demeaning advertisements, I started to listen more. This led me to an amount of guilt during membership drives. After all, I love the station. I really should support it. Then one night, while listening to the evening news and thinking that this is really the news I want instead of the dribble that I saw on TV, so I pulled the trigger and made the call. As soon as I made that pledge, I felt different. I was part of this now, and I had found a brand new family. 2 weeks later, I found myself at volunteer orientation, where Ani Hayes greeted us all like long-lost brothers and sisters. After this, I joined the news team, where I've met some incredible people who are as intelligent as they are passionate. To be part of this, I consider a great honor. This station is as special as it is unique. We help each other here, and we teach each other. When you take a class here, it's not taught by a staff member. It's taught by another volunteer. I consider this a very special thing. There are now over 500 volunteers at KBOO, and each and every one are like my family, along with all the members who help support us. So maybe once a month, you can do something like bring a sack lunch to work instead of going to the local diner and save 10 bucks. That's all it takes, 10 bucks a month. And you, too, can be part of this incredible thing. So go ahead, make that call. It's 877-500-5266. Give us a helping hand. I'm Al Khan, and I thank you for your attention.
A lawsuit in Portland alleges an asbestos cover-up at a Southwest apartment building. The lawsuit filed Monday claims that Tandem Property Management endangered employees by exposing them to asbestos, even though construction crews warned that it was present. The $40 million lawsuit was filed by two former employees. They claim they were fired for knowing about the asbestos cover-up. The complex is located at 1380 Southwest 66th Avenue and covers multiple buildings. A lawyer for the employees said they do not think residents have been notified that they could have been exposed to asbestos. It has long been known that asbestos can cause life-threatening diseases. The lawsuit alleges that employees were fired for their knowledge of the asbestos-laden sheetrock in an attempted cover-up.
Washington County authorities have issued a caution advisory of two separate incidents of men attempting to lure middle school girls into vehicles as they were walking to school. Washington County sheriffs report that on September 5th, a male driving a white van near Southwest Buntner Road and Spring Lane pulled next to a young girl and asked if she needed a ride to school. The girl declined in the ride and later said she noticed the same van several times before arriving at her school, where she reported the incident. In a separate incident in Beaverton on September 14th, police responded to a report of a male driving a red Ford pickup near Cedar Hills Boulevard and Southwest Parks Way. The man allegedly yelled at the middle school girl and told her to get into his vehicle. The girl refused and reported it to the school officials and her parents. As of yet, no suspects have been identified, but both agencies are responding with more patrols, especially in the hours before and after school. Residents are asked to report suspicious vehicles to Washington County Dispatch at 503-629-0111.
Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us again are Sam and Jamie to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
That's right. You can pick up the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 and make a contribution, or go to kboo.fm, make a secure donation online. How many times have you said to a friend, you know, I was listening to KBOO and I heard this story? That's what KBOO's all about. The stories, the news, the insights that make you stop and think and start your own conversations. And the money you invest now comes back to you in a service that's essential, especially as the mainstream outlets mass produce feeble attempts at news. You can only step outside of this norm, we can only step outside of this norm because of your support. So get on the phone right now. Go to dials 877-500-5266. You know, if you do that, you can be entered to win a prize. You can call 877-500-5266 for your chance to win a 12 bottles of wine, three varieties of Pinot from St. Joseph's Winery, or go to kboo.fm for rules and details on all the prizes.
Yeah, and that's 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. And you can also go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button and make your pledge today, become a member. And for as little as $5 a month, you can become a member, and we will thank you with a KBOO black beanie. This is Portland. If you don't have a beanie, you should get one now. And you can do that by going to kboo.fm, dialing that number, 877-500-5266. Or trotting on down to 20 Southeast 8th Street and just making your pledge in person. And you can help support programming like the KBOO Evening News that volunteers work hard every day to bring you. And you are an important part of this effort because we have, you know, our institutional support here at KBOO, our tech equipment, our infrastructure, the tower that broadcasts, all of that costs money. Machines don't volunteer, unfortunately. And so take a stand for truth today. Take a stand for freedom of information. Take a stand for facts and for participatory democracy and independent media. We are calling on you now for your support, so call us, 877-500-5266.
That's right, Sam. KBOO's all about wonderful programs, but it's also this community of 500 volunteers with less than 10 staff. And, of course, we have to pay for the transmitter and translator tower rental, $51,000. Utilities, $42,000. Newswire service, Democracy Now!, free speech radio news, etc. Equipment repair and replacement, etc. It's certainly not free. It's free to listen to, but not free to produce. 80% of our KBOO annual budget comes from our listeners. That's right, you, our listener. And the news and information you hear from KBOO is essential every single day, whether it's a historic day or a day like the rest. Make sure you're always, we're always here for you. And let me give a shout out to Sean, a new member who called in from Ben. Thank you, Sean. Yep. and remind everyone to pick up the phone, 877-500-5266, or make a secure donation online, kboo.fm.
And we'd also like to thank Patricia from Portland, who called 877-500-5266 to renew her membership, and she was calling in to support Kabi Kushi Kabi Kush with DJ Anjali and the Kid. And thank you, Patricia, for that. And you also out there can be like Sean and Patricia and support KBOO and the programming that we bring you 24/7, 365, sometimes 366. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. Or you can go to KBOO.FM and click on the donate button.
You know, Sam, Portland is known as a progressive city. It didn't just become that way overnight by accident. 50 years of KBOO day in and day out has set an agenda and molded the minds of Portlanders. And if you're one of those Portland progressives who appreciates listening to KBOO, now is the time. Pull out that phone. Dial 877-500-5266 or go online and make a secure donation at kboo.fm. We suggest a $5 a month donation. And with it, you can get a KBOO black beanie for the inclement weather coming up. And all you have to do is dial that number, 877-500-5266.
Yeah, that's 877-500-5266. Or you can go to kboo.fm, or you can come down to 20 Southeast 8th Street and make your pledge in person. Talk to our volunteers, see what it looks like around here, see what community-powered radio really looks like. 877-500-5266.
A Russian military plane was downed Monday by Syrian anti-aircraft fire. This allows an Israeli attack in northwest Syria. All 15 Russian crew members were killed. The attack comes after Russia and Turkey reached an agreement to stop attacks in Syria's Idlib province, the last rebel-held region. Russia's President Vladimir Putin and Turkey's President Recep Erdogan reached an agreement to protect the region's 3 million civilians from humanitarian crisis. Syria's regime under al-Bashir al-Assad has accepted the agreement, but upheld their efforts to recover all of Syria. The agreement has been met with mixed responses, with Syrian rebel sources saying they would not allow any of President Assad's regime to return to the province. The agreement is only a temporary measure and does not solve how they will deal with the rebel groups or will be in control of the region.
The Environmental Protection Agency's Inspector General has resigned after 8 years in the position. Arthur Elkins announced that his last day will be October 12th. He has held the post since 2010. In a release statement, Elkins said, quote, "It has been my great honor and privilege to serve the American people in this role for more than 8 years. I am grateful for the outstanding team of auditors, investigators, and other professionals who comprise the Office of Inspector General, and for the opportunity to have earned the trust of a wide array of stakeholders relying on the integrity of the OIG's independence." His office has led investigations into former EPA advisor John Beale and Scott Pruitt's recent spending. The EPA's Deputy Inspector General, Charles Sheehan, will lead the office until the Senate confirms President Trump's forthcoming nominee.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast when we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Sam Bowman, Lucas Campbell, Yasmin Kobanoglu, Al Khan, and Grace Ann Smith. The producer is Yasmin Kobanoglu, and our engineer is Mike Fotopoulos. The interim directors of Evening News and Public Affairs are Sam Bowman and Teresa Mitchell. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, and 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Kyle Carrezzi.
And I'm Yasmin Kobanoglu. Coming up tomorrow morning on KABU, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Wednesday Talk Radio, Paul Rowland talks with Anand Giriharadas about his provocative new book, Winners Take All, The Elite Charade of Changing the World. At 9, Political Perspectives' Lisa Loving talks with local multimedia journalist Christopher Francisco. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, Food Show has interviews with Laura Sweeney, Joe Brzezinska, and Marisha Auerbach. All of these KABU programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kabu.fm and click on Donate.
And we're back. I'm Sam, and I'm here with Jamie.
Hey, Sam.
And we are here in KABU's Fall Membership Drive headquarters, and we are asking you to call 877-500-5266 right now and become a member today, a member of KBOO, your community radio station. And we put on shows like The Evening News and Preference and Calculated Conversations. We do that with your support and with the hard work of volunteers who themselves could not do that without your support. So we're asking you to join this community project intended for a more inclusive media. So please join KABU now. Call that number, 877-500-5266. You can also go online to kboo.fm. And if you join today, if you call that number now, you will be entered to win a prize. So call 877-500-5266 for your chance to win 12 bottles of wine, 3 varieties of Pinot from St. Joseph's Winery. Or you can go to kboo.fm for rules and details on all the prizes.
We know that you value the KABU Evening News as an alternative to the mainstream 24-hour news cycle. We break the news all the time that's important to you, your family, your neighbors. And this in-depth reporting that you hear on the evening news informs you. You know more about what's happening. You share this news with the world around you. So take a stand for truth. Take a stand for freedom of information. Take a stand for facts. You can be part of this powerful movement of the participatory independent media. And we call on you now for your support. Go to the phone. Dial 877-500-5266 or make a secure donation online at kboo.fm. We suggest that you donate $5 a month. It's quite simple. You can take it right out of your credit card or bank account, and we'll give you a KABU black beanie in as a gift for that $5 a month sustainer. So go to the phone right now, 877-500-5266, or go directly online, kboo.fm, and make a donation now.
Yeah, and that $5 a month, that adds up to $60 a year. And just in that way, a small expense, you know, the small expenses that we expend every day on things like coffee and you know, small meals, that's a big part of our day, but a relatively small expense. And you consider KABU's place in your day, how it enriches and informs you regularly, how long it takes for you to listen to just one KABU program, for example. Now, that's worth something, and you value how KABU informs you, so become a member right now. And you can do that by calling 877-500-5266 and talk to one of our very enthusiastic volunteers here, or go online to make a secure donation at kboo.fm. Click on the donate button. And you can also come down on this lovely day to 20 Southeast 8th Street. And don't forget, you will be entered to win a prize if you call 877-500-5266. That prize, 12 bottles of wine, 3 varieties of Pinot in there from St. Joseph's Winery. You can go to kboo.fm for rules and details. And if you make that $5 a month donation, you could potentially win a KABU beanie. And so donate today, become a member, 877-500-5266. Let's keep those phones ringing.
Yeah, Sam, you know, it's like your union dues, which protects your job. It's like your church tithe, which protects your spirit. Your KABU membership protects your access to information, to news, public affairs that you can use in your daily life, information that you use in conversation with your coworkers, friends, family, neighbors, political comrades. This is the news that you can use. So give us your spare change for some social change. Go to that smartphone right now and go to www.kboo.fn. Make a secure donation and go for the $5 a month sustainer. Or pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266.
Yes, 877-500-5266, and you can support the reporting that we do here at the KABU Evening News. We've got people going to open meetings. We've got people going to protests across town, pickets, union actions. We've got people calling up every community organization you can think of to ask them what they're up to and to get the voice of the people on the air. And you can help support that kind of work by going to 877-500-5266. Call us right now. Make your pledge. Become a member. As little as $5 help support KABU for a very long time.
Coming up next, National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has overturned a federal court's findings that South Dakota agencies systematically violated the Indian Child Welfare Act. In March 2013, tribes and parents brought a class action lawsuit against the State Department of Social Services, Seventh Circuit Court, and the Pennington County State's Attorney. Federal Judge Jeff Viken found for the plaintiffs in a partial summary judgment, and the state successfully appealed to the Eighth Circuit. Victoria Wicks has more.
The opinion from the Eighth Circuit essentially boils down to jurisdiction. The federal court should not have considered this case. The Indian Child Welfare Act, known as ICWA, is a federal law, and so alleged violations would seem to belong in federal court. But State's Attorney Mark Vargo says that's not necessarily the case. Vargo is one of the defendants named in the lawsuit. He says plaintiffs contend that South Dakota law outlines a process to handle abuse and neglect cases, but if ICWA is applicable, then the state has to adjust its process. Vargo says the Eighth Circuit opinion does not agree. It says that state courts are presumed to understand and apply federal law, and that the federal court should not intervene if the state court adequately enforces federal law. The lawsuit has been ongoing for more than 5 years. During that time, and prior to its filing, Vargo says his office has taken steps independent of the lawsuit to adjust its practices where necessary to follow the dictates of ICWA.
What we're trying to do is to create the best outcome for the children that come into our care. And the attempts to keep them within their tribal communities is very much a part of what we are trying to do. And so we don't just follow ICWA, we actually believe in ICWA.
The Eighth Circuit sent this case back to the federal court in Rapid City with instructions to Judge Viken to dismiss the plaintiff's claims. The plaintiffs were represented by a local attorney and the ACLU, who did not immediately respond to a request for comment. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
The Lenape Nation in Delaware is encouraging young people to learn about their culture. A group recently traveled to a resource center to research tribal history. In this story, first aired on Delaware Public Media, Sophia Schmidt reports.
The group visited the Cultural Resources Center primarily to collaborate with University of Delaware student Annabelle Fitchner on her research about traditional net making among mid-Atlantic tribes. Museum staff pulled several late 19th and early 20th century nets from the object collections for the group to examine. Nearly all were made of commercial cotton. But Cultural Resources staff did find a few individual knots of native plant cordage attached to nets. A textile conservation expert identified them as likely made of dogbane. This meant a quick lesson in natural fiber spinning for the group, geared toward its youngest members. 7-year-old Charlotte is the daughter of Lenape tribal citizen Melody Klein.
Today was really fun because I got to learn about fiber and other stuff that is really cool, like wooden stuff that was from a long, long time ago.
Principal Chief of the Lenape Indian Tribe of Delaware, Dennis Coker, has spoken about the difficulty of getting Lenape youth involved with their culture. but the group visiting the Cultural Resources Center also included clients to other children, teenage Cannon Klein.
It was cool to like see like the stuff from like our tribe and our community.
While Fitchner aims to teach Lenape community members to weave traditional nets, Chief Coker notes that he doesn't see tribal citizens beginning to weave nets for subsistence fishing again.
You never know where those practices may lead you. If it's nothing but making you aware of a higher order of things.
For National Native News, I'm Sophia Schmidt in Delaware.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
And now it's time for this week's edition of This Week in Water.
Florence causes fears about hog waste, coal ash, and dams. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
Hurricane Florence, now a tropical depression, made landfall on Friday morning in North Carolina. While its winds have slowed, the storm had dropped a lot of rain, including 30 inches near Wilmington, and forecasters were saying up to 40 inches could fall in the Carolinas before it's over.
The Cape Fear River is predicted to crest Tuesday at 62 feet in Fayetteville, more than 27 feet over flood stage. As of Sunday morning, 14 people were reported to have died in the storm.
In addition to immediate concerns about people's safety, there are ongoing worries about failures of infrastructure and water contamination.
In both North and South Carolina, about 10% of the bridges are structurally deficient. Wayne Klotz of the American Society of Civil Engineers told Newsweek that while there are not a lot of bridges about to fall down, they weren't designed to accommodate 3 to 4 feet of rain at one time.
South Carolina has almost 180 dams, which the government defines as high hazards, meaning that if one failed, it would probably cause loss of human life and serious damage to homes and buildings. In North Carolina, there are more than 1,400 high-hazard dams. Klotz said that some may have to release water to avoid breaches, but those releases could cause downstream flooding.
Floodwaters could contain toxins and contaminants. Environmental advocates have been warning that there are dozens of coal ash piles across the path of the storm.
On Sunday, an NBC News local affiliate reported that a slope of a coal ash landfill collapsed at a closed power station near Wilmington. Duke Energy officials confirmed the report, saying that enough ash to fill 180 dump trucks had spilled into a lake, but it was unknown whether that had contaminated the Cape Fear River.
In addition to those problems, industrial hog farms in North Carolina have several million tons of urine and feces in lagoons that experts worry could be flooded, spreading contents into surrounding residential areas and water supplies.
Wired reports that scientists think the state's hog farms contain antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Farmers have been spraying hog waste on fields as fertilizer, but that could be washed down into rivers and streams by heavy rains.
During the last hurricane in 2016, 14 hog lagoons flooded. Florence has been predicted to drop twice as much rain as that storm.
As Florence drenched the Carolinas, Typhoon Mangkhut devastated parts of the Philippines and China.
In the Philippines, Mangkhut, the strongest storm of the year, killed 59, most of whom died in landslides from the heavy rains. Then, after crossing the sea, it struck Hong Kong, where it swayed skyscrapers and blew out windows.
As all this occurred, a study shows that planners and developers of new cities being built around the world are doing very little to make their projects resilient to climate change.
Geography professor Sarah Mosier mapped 120 cities in Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America, and was struck by how many are in vulnerable coastal areas.
She found that only 8 of the cities are even talking about climate change. Moser said in a release from McGill University that everyone wants to live on the coast, and new cities are often geared towards the wealthy as investment vehicles.
She observed that there is no voice of reason stepping in and saying that these projects are not a good idea. As an example, she points to a new high-rise development on reclaimed land in the narrow body of water between Malaysia and Singapore. When completed, it will have housing for 700,000 people on 4 artificial islands.
When she visited the site, Mosier's guide told her that there were no worries about rising sea levels because that happens only in other countries.
Anyone who has potted plants or gardens might notice how water gets absorbed into the dirt. That happens due to the pores in the soil.
A new study from the University of California at Riverside predicts that climate change will reduce the amount of large pores that make the absorption possible, a condition that could lead to more flash flooding and soil erosion.
Macro pores in the soil are as small as 1/6 the size of a pencil eraser. The researchers found that they are less likely to develop in humid climates, and as the atmosphere warms, it's going to get more humid, meaning less macropores.
Using climate predictions for the end of this century, the scientists conclude that in most regions of the U.S., increasing humidity will reduce the large pores.
In a release from UC Riverside, the study's lead author, Daniel Hermos, said that having fewer large pores could have effects on food production, water scarcity, and biodiversity. And finally this week, want to save the planet and be healthier? Your mother was right. Eat your veggies. According to new research from the European Commission's Joint Research Center, meatless diets could cut your water footprint in half.
A water footprint is defined as the total volume of fresh water necessary to produce goods, in this case food. Raising livestock takes a lot of water, as does producing oils, sugars, and fats. But growing fruits and vegetables, on the other hand, is much more efficient.
In the most detailed study to date on consumption, researchers analyzed what people in France, Germany, and the UK eat on a daily basis and found that, on average, each person's water footprint was around 800 gallons a day. For comparison, people in the U.S. use nearly 2,400.
But the authors found that if people adhered to dietary guidelines, which generally recommend meals rich in fruit, vegetables, and grains, each individual's water footprint would fall depending on regional eating habits.
For example, a healthy pescatarian diet of fish, where animal fat is replaced with oils from crops, water consumption is reduced by a third. Following a vegetarian diet can lower an individual's footprint by 55%.
Given an upward trend in obesity, an increasing demand for meat worldwide, coupled with strained freshwater resources, climate change, and population growth, the authors see changing our diets as a win-win.
This Week in Water is supported by the American Water Works Association, highlighting the latest cost-effective strategies to manage aging infrastructure at the Water Infrastructure Conference and Expo October 28th to 31st in Atlanta. Learn more at awwa.org/H2O Infocon.
Hey, I'm Sam, and I'm here with
Jalen.
And thank you all for listening to the KBOO Evening News. We are back for a quick emergency pitch at the end of the hour here. Call that number right now, 877-500-5266. Become a member today, or you can go online, kboo.fm. Click on the donate button and make a secure donation online. And if you call that number right now, you will be entered to win a prize. So call 877-500-5266 for your chance to win 12 bottles of wine. That's three varieties of Pinot from St. Joseph's Winery. Or you can go to kboo.fm for the rules and details on all those prizes. So that's 877-500-5266. And you can, if you give a minimum $5 a month donation, that adds up to $60 a year. And we will get a KBOO black beanie as a thank you gift from us to you. And so call in, support KBOO today, 877-500-5266.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Sam. It's so important these days to make sure that the news sources that you are consuming are connected to your community, to make sure that they're not coming from outside and serving some sort of interest other than what's best for the common good in your community. 877-500-5266. Every time you support KBOO, you are giving a reporter here the tools to go out and report on what's really happening in your community. Call in and pledge now at that $5 a month level, like Sam said, 877-500-5266. And you are putting a microphone in the hands of a reporter. You're training them about how to go out and report on what's happening in your community. And that's the only way to know what's really going on, is when the funding for telling you what's going on comes from you. 877-500-5266.
Yeah, that's 877-500-5266. You are an important part of this effort to put the KBOO News on the air. Your membership, your support, your news tips, just putting that out there. You call now with your pledge to KBOO, 877-500-5266. You can also go online, kboo.fm, click on the donate button, make a secure donation there. And if you're feeling especially outgoing, come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Street. The weather is great. And meet some volunteers. See what it looks like down here when volunteers put on a show in the old radio station. 877-500-5266.
We only have a couple days left in our fall membership drive, and we really need your help right now to make our goal for the end of the drive. We have several tens of thousands of dollars left to go. So please, right now, we need your support. This is the time. We know you are listening. If you are a regular KBOO listener, the radio sounds so much better once you become a KBOO member. Trust me. You don't believe me? Try it out. Prove me wrong. Come down here and call shenanigans on me if you donate to KBOO and then find that I am lying. 877-500-5266.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bread and Ink Cafe, located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland, serving family-style breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Lunch provided by Aviv, located at 1125 Southeast Division Street in the Hosford-Abernethy neighborhood. Open daily from lunch to dinner, Aviv serves vegan-friendly Middle Eastern cuisine. Dinner provided by Le Bistro Montage, located in Portland's Industrial District at 301 Southeast Morrison Street. Le Bistro Montage serves Creole cuisine, open daily from dinner to late night. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Folk Music Society 2018-19 concert season. Molly O'Brien and Rich Moore will take the stage in the season opener on Friday, September 21st. For over 30 years, singer Molly O'Brien and guitarist Rich Moore have made it their mission to unlock the secrets of the canon of American roots music. They are geniuses at interpreting the essence of the songs they tackle. Experience them live at the Portland Folk Music Society season opener on Friday, September 21st at Reedwood Friends Church, located at 2901 Southeast Steele Street in Portland.